Tentor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Monster King by Eve Langley, narrated by Tanya Eby. Prologue.
Oh, the shame of it.
The metal links of Hugo's chains clanked as he shifted to ease the discomfort in his body. Not that changing position did much to help. He'd been captive for weeks now. Weeks with no one looking for him. His fault for walking right into a trap laid by someone he'd not once suspected. A fatal mistake. He'd entered the hotel room he'd rented to find Renard waiting. She oozed casualness as she sat in a club chair, her toned legs crossed. Her left hand held a smoking cigarette. That would tack on a hefty charge to his already costly daily fee.
"Hello, Renard," he'd said.
"Don't hello me. I know you took her. Where is she?" The her being Ruby Garcia, a very rare Alsahir, more commonly known as a null witch, one of only two in the world.
"What makes you think she's still alive? You know how my god feels about the Alsahir."
"A god called Odin. I know you kept her alive, and I want her back."
"Whereas Odin would prefer she remain far from Nexus."
"I don't care what your god wants. She is needed."
"For what exactly?" he asked. "She seems more a detriment than anything, given how monster-classed cryptids are drawn to her."
Ruby was a woman who attracted trouble, and him, to his surprise. "The why doesn't matter. You will return her at once." He thought of where he'd left Ruby. In the tower between worlds, accessible to only a select few. Renard would never find her.
"I think not. Not until you tell me what you're plotting."
"Who, me?" A not-so-innocent query. Her sly expression went well with her next taunt. "It's a shame you're going to make me do this the hard way."
"Do what?" he'd asked.
He didn't fear Renard. As a kitsune, she'd lost her magic decades ago as a young girl when her kind went literally insane. They'd embarked on an unnatural murder spree that ended in them all being killed except for one. Renard, daughter of the president of the Cryptid Authority, who'd saved her life by stripping her of her power, which included blocking access to her other shape. In essence, she'd lost her identity. She had to find power in other ways, somehow rising to her current position through sheer determination and personality alone. Impressive. "Being Odin's emissary won't protect you." He blinked at her. She didn't even have a weapon on her person.
"You can't hurt me."
"Is that a dare?" She oozed confidence. "Time to put you somewhere you can't get in my way." Before he could react, a multitude of fuchsia-furred tails shot out of her, tufted prehensile appendages that wrapped around him. But worse, they sapped his strength. He gaped at her.
"You were stripped of your abilities."
"I was. And then I found a way to get them back." She dragged him close with her tails, pinning his arms to his body and sending an electrical current through him that fried his senses. And that was how he ended up a prisoner in a cell, chained by the arms and legs. At his age. Embarrassing. Even worse, it had been weeks, and he still didn't know what she planned or why she'd taken him. Weeks spent in discomfort as she kept him chained. He had a little slack, enough that he could stand or sit, but he couldn't fully lie down unless he curled his body. Despite promising torture to extract Ruby's location, Renard never bothered because somehow the Null Witch had escaped the tower and returned to Nexus. His captor didn't try to kill him either, which led to the realization she planned to use him for something.
"What are you up to, Renard?"
Speaking of whom, she entered his cell, looking vibrant in comparison to the gray stone all around. She'd gone old school when it came to his accommodations, moist and mildewy. He could hear the drip of water out of reach from his parched mouth. The rats were plentiful, as were the spiders with their hairy legs. Nasty things stung when they bit. Renard pursed her pink-colored lips, a shade darker than her hair, but matching her outfit. "Might be time to bring a hose down here," her nose wrinkled.
"I'm sorry. If I'd known you were coming, I would have showered, put on some cologne, changed my clothes," he offered in a low drawl.
"Don't take that tone with me. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't kidnapped Ruby." He still wasn't quite sure why he'd done that. Initially, he'd gone to that remote cabin near the quarry in Nexus to end her existence. After all, there was a reason the gods didn't suffer an Alsahir to live. They were dangerous tools in the wrong hands. Then he saw Ruby, and next thing he knew, he'd flown off with her with no real plan beyond getting her away from everyone. Finding out how much Renard wanted Ruby made him regret not killing her when he had the chance. In the old days, he wouldn't have hesitated. He hadn't acted when he had the chance, and doubted he would if he got another opportunity. He blamed the kiss.
"Would you have preferred I killed her?" he countered.
"If she was dead, then you would have been next to follow. Do you know how long I waited for someone like her?"
"I don't see why she's so important, since you still have the professor."
"A male Alsahir, who would seem a better choice, given he could control his ability to take away magic. Zanon isn't suitable for the task."
"And what is that task?"
He'd been trying to find out, using her rare visits to glean what he could before he escaped. "Soon everyone will see. It will reshape the world."
"As if the billions inhabiting it will allow you to change it. They and their gods will tear you apart."
"You're assuming they'll survive." She showed no remorse for what would come.
"What's in the ruins under Nexus?"
That had to be the clue to what she planned and why. They were the reason he was here, after all. An unknown ruin meant secrets. Odin loved secrets. People made the mistake of thinking gods were all-knowing. They weren't. Hence why they had scions to seek out and, when necessary, destroy. Little did Odin know they'd find not only an ancient temple system, but two very rare Alsahir. "Forget the ruins. I'm more curious as to why no one seems to be missing you, not even your god," Renard taunted. "Maybe he's forsaken you because you failed to obey." He didn't react to her taunt, but rather remained steadfast.
"You won't get away with this."
"I already have. Nothing can stop me now."
"I will stop you."
Even if he didn't know what that would take. "I do love a challenge. Unfortunately, you're not it."
"Is there a point to this visit?"
"Not really," she smirked, "although I do enjoy seeing you in chains. Now you'll have to excuse me. I have a party to get ready for." Renard waggled her fingers. "Try not to miss me too much." With that, she left, taking Light with her, leaving him annoyed and with too much time to think. Where had he gone wrong? When he fell for the wrong woman. Chapter 1 I sat cross-legged on the ground, hands on my knees, eyes closed, concentrating. Not on my ass, which would have appreciated a cushion, nor my tummy, which insisted it starved. I even ignored the itch in my nose. I couldn't be distracted. Today's lesson involved reining in my null ability. In other words, don't eat the tempting magic lying within reach. The magical distraction in question hovered over my head. A balloon, but not the helium-filled party kind. Professor Zanon, my teacher, and annoying pain in my ass, had filled the balloon suspended over my head with milk that expired 2 days ago and had now been curdling in the sun for the past 4 hours. Just enough for it to be gross and gag-worthy, meaning, don't let it drop. 4 hours and counting, my longest attempt ever, but only because I'd been carefully concentrating, holding tight to my power, which used to be a problem before my lessons. In my ignorant days, aka a few weeks ago, I'd been oblivious to the fact I leaked my null ability. Being close to me sucked at magic. And if I touched it, poof, didn't matter if it was a spell or a person. I got rid of it all. Or so I thought. Turned out I could do so much more. If I ever learned how. Thus far, it hadn't been going all that well. Remember how in Star Wars, Luke put on that helmet and had to use the Force to practice with his saber? Well, in my case, eyes wide open and straining hard enough to ship myself hadn't accomplished diddly. Professor X, as I like to call him, had taught me that the magic I thought dissipated in my vicinity was actually absorbed by me, and could be used. For lack of a better term, and to differentiate it from what wizards and witches used, he called it the unmagic. But was I learning how to lob my unmagic at monsters? Nope. I did my best to not get splooshed by spoiled milk. It led to me grumbling, how much longer do I have to do this? Professor X, who lounged in an Adirondack on the porch of the cabin where we were staying, because apparently living in town would be too distracting, rustled the paper he read before replying.
We will keep practicing until you do it without thinking, as I've explained numerous times. You cannot go around being some giant magic-sucking black hole.
I think I've proven I can handle it. I'd set a new record today.
Have you? He drawled. Because I'll bet the moment you stop concentrating, we'll be right back to where we started.
It's hard. Blame my boredom for the irritable tone.
Only because you insist on believing it is.
I jutted my lower lip to pout. My ass is sore.
There will be times when you will be uncomfortable. You cannot allow it to distract you. You must always be in control.
Says you. I kind of liked my bubble of don't come near me, I grumbled. In the past, once people realized I could take away magic, whether it be a glamour on their person or something in an object they carried, they tended to give me a wide berth.
If whining were a superpower, you'd already have a cape and leotard, he replied dryly.
Fucker. Professor X, while annoying as hell, had the patience of a saint and epic sarcasm to go with it. I wasn't an easy student. Blame my age. Old enough to know better. Dumb enough to think I knew it all. I didn't. I'd come to realize that my entire belief system, when it came to me and what I thought was an ungovernable power, actually had more to do with my own stubbornness and a lack of knowledge. Turned out people like me and the professor with the ability to siphon magic, while rare, did exist. In ancient times, we even had a fancy name. Al-Sahir. Translated, it meant wizard killer. Not that I had murdered any. My only wizard friend, Clive, remained alive and well, if hopelessly in love with my best friend, Nellie, who was in a deep state of denial. What's for dinner? I asked, my stomach rumbling in annoyance. Lunch was 4 hours ago, and I could have used a mid-afternoon snack.
We're going to town for our evening meal.
Really? The moment I exclaimed it, excitement blossomed. I lost my concentration. The balloon of milk dropped onto my head and exploded. Drenched in curdled milk, I blinked my wet lashes as the professor sighed.
As predicted.
Asshole. I hated it when he proved his point. Guess we'll be practicing again tomorrow.
Guess so. Get ready. We'll leave in the next hour.
As if I'd need that long. The old cabin had begun to feel a bit like a home since I'd agreed to be taught by Professor X away from outside distractions. The addition of my comforter and clothes helped, as did a fully stocked kitchen. When I'd been growing up, I'd often gone hungry. The resulting food anxiety made it so I had to have packed shelves and a bulging fridge. I dressed casually in black jeans, black sweater, and boots. Guess what color? Before you wonder at my choice, I had good reason for the ensemble. For one, my fiery red hair looked great against the dark palette. Two, they'd yet to create a stain remover effective against monster goo and blood and other icky stuff. Three, I liked it. Professor X was waiting for me when I emerged. He wore an unbuttoned black shirt, layered over a gray one, tucked into charcoal khakis. With our matching red hair, we could have been father and daughter. We weren't, although at times I had to wonder.
I'm driving,
he declared, jangling the keys. It led to me snorting as I followed him out. Don't tell me you haven't gotten over our incident. That incident was me blasting music, belting out the lyrics while flying along the dirt road into the cabin, hitting a pothole and causing his taller frame to bump into the roof of the car.
I'd like to arrive alive.
Pussy, I muttered.
I prefer the term pragmatic.
Professor X never took offense, but he did always have a retort. As we started the drive into town, a good 20-minute ride with Mr. Follow the Speed Limit, I couldn't help but reflect on my progress the last few weeks. While I'd been making some inroads, failures, like today's, tended to be the norm. Do you think I'll ever be as good at controlling my null power as you? I asked. Professor glanced at me for a second.
Why couldn't you be?
Because you don't seem impressed with me half the time.
You'd prefer I blew smoke up your ass and lauded your every accomplishment?
No, but some encouragement would be nice. At times it feels like we're wasting time because I just can't seem to get it.
Are you fishing for compliments?
Was I? He spoke again before I could.
When you first started, what would have happened to that balloon the moment you got close?
I'd have eaten its magic and it would have dropped right away. But I still have to concentrate to do it.
Because you're still treating it like a conscious act. Holding in your nullifying ability needs to be like breathing and walking. Something you do without thought.
Once I figure that out, will you start showing me how to use it?
I thought I had.
I frowned. You've shown me how to siphon it off when I get too much. Recently, he'd given me a wand inset with a moonstone, which acted as a battery I could charge. It was tiny, unlike his giant staff. At the same time, mine proved a little easier to tuck away when not in use. I stuffed it into my back pocket, whereas his staff lay across the back seat.
Funneling is manipulating the unmagic.
Into the stone? But then what? How do I use it to do things like light a candle or levitate a rock?
That will come once you've learned to move the magic without draining yourself dry each time.
I don't see why that's a big deal. It's easy to get more.
What if there's no magic around?
He asked. Then I use the stuff in my wand.
And if your wand was taken from you?
I'd take it back, he countered with.
How? If you've already poured everything you have into it?
My lips flattened. Must you have an answer for everything?
Yes.
He didn't sugarcoat it. I sighed. You know, this probably would have been easier if the CA had chosen to teach me when they discovered me as a teen. The CA being the cryptid authority in charge of all things magical and non-human, which included wizards, witches, and magical leeches, like me.
Except they had no one to teach you at the time, and I wasn't in a proper mindset to be teacher back then.
A reminder that he'd been incarcerated at a young age by a group of people who thought they could use his special power to perform a coup that would have toppled the government. It backfired. My teacher learned because of the torture they'd inflicted, and then used it on his jailers. While I should count myself lucky he'd agreed to teach me, his attitude left much to be desired. In his defense, mine wasn't much better. They could have let me know I wasn't a freak, I grumbled, or at the very least given me some indication that my ability could be controlled.
People often fear that which they don't understand.
Here we go with the wise proverbs again. I rolled my eyes.
Hardly wise, more like the truth. You do things to magic that frighten them, because the world has become too reliant on it. It's why those with our power have been hunted to extinction. Why you and I have to be vigilant, lest they decide we're more hassle than it's worth.
This isn't the Dark Ages where they can just murder us because we're different.
You're right. It isn't. We'd simply have a mundane accident.
Meaning stop fucking up or I might accidentally trip in front of a speeding truck. I slouched in my seat and crossed my arms.
So long as you don't cause a mass casualty event, I'd say you'll be fine. We're here.
Here turned out to be an Italian restaurant we'd gone to before as a gang, back when I worked in the SMU office, Special Monsters Unit, to be exact. It was a subdivision of the Cryptid Authority created to handle the surge of monster and cryptid problems flooding Nexus. a small town in the middle of nowhere that was apparently built upon some ancient ruins. Whose ruins? No one seemed to know. As we pulled into the parking lot, I recognized some of the vehicles. Baptiste's pickup truck with the winches and the push bar. A Jeep that Nellie liked to drive without its top. The bright pink convertible with the FXXXY license plate that belonged to my boss. I couldn't wait to see everyone. Texting and video conference calls weren't the same. Funny how a few months ago the only friend I had was a foul-mouthed bird named Wally. Now I had all kinds of friends, and I missed them. It was only as we entered the private room set aside for our group and I saw the banner saying groom-to-be that I realized what we were gathering for. Baptiste's bachelor party. The guy I had the hots for. The one who kissed me and then dumped me for another woman. A.K.A. the asshole. Chapter 2. With Professor X at my back, I couldn't flee, and it was too late to fake a sickness. To say I still had a thing for Baptiste would be putting it mildly. The guy was super hot, as in he'd featured in many of my masturbation scenarios. We'd even shared a crazy passionate kiss that I'd expected to lead to other more naked acts. Alas, his family had other plans. When he never gave me a follow-up smooch or dicking, I wondered why until he announced his engagement. The fact it was an arranged marriage did little to soothe my jealousy, especially since he did nothing to escape. I mean, the guy turned into a literal wolfman. He could have easily tossed me over a brawny shoulder and run off into the moonlight with me, right? But instead, he was at his engagement party to another woman, wearing a collared polo shirt in a burgundy that complemented his complexion. His hair recently cut and styled in a way that screamed yuppie, and he wore loafers. Fucking loafers instead of the shit kickers he used to when we first met. The man was willingly going to his doom. Sucker. What did it say about me that I still wanted to jump his ass? In my defense, I also wanted to bang Hugo, Odin's kidnapping raven. Given he'd gone missing after making out with me, I had to wonder if perhaps I should just invest in some good old battery-powered toys. I ignored Baptiste, despite a stare, and pasted a smile on my face as I greeted the first person I saw. Hey, boss. Renard looked lovely as ever in pink. The woman had a thing for it.
Ruby, so glad your teacher let you out for this celebration. She's been working hard and earned an evening of fun, he said to my surprise, before excusing himself. I need to make a call.
It left me stuck with my boss, who appeared in the mood to chit-chat. How are your lessons going? I shrugged. Okay, I guess. I'm learning a lot. That's good. Zanon says you're doing well, considering your age and resistance. What resistance? I've done everything he's told me. He says your problem is up here. She tapped her temple. I grimaced. The professor claimed I was my own worst enemy and needed to get out of my own way. Blame a lifetime of abuse and rejection. I had issues. I was trying to do better. I'm working on it.
Good. Because we need you back at work.
The praise almost made me blush. Rubes! Nellie screamed and leaped over the table to tackle hug me. I squeezed her right back. The novelty of having a female friend hadn't grown old. I spent the next few minutes saying hello and getting hugged by everyone there. Clive, with his usual rocker t-shirt. Kiana, the techie for our work, who'd spiked her pastel-colored hair and added glitter for the occasion. Yvonne sat cross-legged on the end of the table, eyes shut, and I would have said she was in a trance, but as I passed her, she murmured, "Hello, Ruby." The Sphinx I'd rescued, Aziza, sat coiled in Yvonne's lap and opened an eye for only a second to acknowledge me. I would have been insulted if not for the fact she often snuck into the cabin at night to share any gossip she had and to cuddle. Professor X didn't know and would have snapped if he had, since he'd forbidden her from visiting. The one that I'd missed most, though, was stamping his clawed feet impatiently on his perch. Wally hooted,
"Sugar tits,
About time you showed up. My ass needs a scratch.
He never changed. I'd saved him from a shop using his Caladrius feathers for potions, and for some reason he stuck around. Look at you, your feathers came back. Indeed, his once depleted plumage was now ruffled, thick and healthy, a pure white except for the red bisecting line that he claimed was a family crest of sorts.
Hell yeah, I'm a stud, he crowed.
Does this mean you've been harassing the local avians? I chided. You'd better be wearing a condom, or you'll have all kinds of chicks fluttering around. I'd have sworn he blushed. He ducked his head.
Just one, lady.
My mouth rounded. Really? That's amazing, Wally. I can't wait to meet her. I might have asked more questions, but a presence at my back refused to be ignored. I turned to see Baptiste, looming. Hey, Beefcake, the name I'd given him since day one. How's the countdown to the ball and chain event going? He grimaced.
Weddings are a torturous thing that should be banned.
I cackled. No shit. You'll never catch me getting hitched. It helped that no one even wanted to date me. After all, Baptiste had also kissed me, and then turned right around and got engaged.
I'll be glad when it's all over.
Speaking of which, where is your lovely fiancé? Cute, petite, and nothing at all like me.
Some kind of flower emergency.
I snickered. Yeah, I can see how that might be super important. His lips pinched. He might have said something, but luckily, Nellie grabbed me. Sit beside me. With pleasure. While I'd been in daily touch with my friends and co-workers, it wasn't the same as being with them. At the same time, hearing them, I was reminded of all I'd missed. I could only listen and pretend to be happy as they told me of the cryptids and monsters they'd recently wrangled. Not as many as we'd dealt in previous months, but still, I was supposed to be a part of the team, and it was hard to see them succeeding without me. Does the slowdown in monsters mean whatever was bringing them has maybe run out of juice? We'd been trying to find out how and why cryptids from around the world kept ending up in Nexus. There seemed to be no rhyme or reason to it. Magical beings, unmagical, all appeared drawn to the town. Renard was the one to reply. More like they're preparing for something. I thought the Church of Pure disbanded. They'd been responsible for much of the early issues with cryptids, seeing as how they were performing some ritual that hexed the beings they caught into misbehaving and then dying in an explosive, literally gut-spattering, method.
The Church might not have its leader, but its people are still around, Kiana jumped in to say, putting up flyers about the purification that's coming, vandalizing cryptid-owned businesses.
I don't understand. If they hate cryptids, why stay in Nexus? It's like Cryptid Central here. Apparently, I'd forgotten something important, and Clive reminded me.
The quarantine zone is still in effect.
The increased monster activity in this area, especially the sightings of thought-to-be-extinct beasts, led to the government cutting us off from the rest of the country. Goods and people could come in, but nothing was allowed out.
Dee Dee has been complaining about it because half the guest list is refusing to come to the wedding, because they don't want to get caught here,
Baptiste stated. Rather than say something probably rude, I took a big sip of my cola. No alcohol, because Professor X said the last thing the town needed was an Al-Sahir, too drunk to control herself. Little did he know my sober ass could be just as much trouble. The food proved delicious. I mean, who didn't love freshly made pasta tossed with a creamy carbonara sauce with loads of caramelized onions and salty pancetta? By the time I ate my tiramisu, I had the biggest food belly and really regretted wearing jeans instead of stretchy leggings. I excused myself to go to the bathroom, leaving the boisterous private party room for the more sedate restaurant. The bathrooms were on the far side down a hallway. Before I could enter the door marked ladies, someone grabbed me by the arm. Being a street-savvy girl, I turned and swung. Baptiste caught my fist.
Whoa, he drawled. No need to get violent.
Don't sneak up on me, I snapped.
Sorry, I wanted to talk to you.
About?
Us.
I snorted. There is no us. You're getting married, remember?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?